Hi, I'm Harry Thompson, editor of USA Hockey Magazine, and you're listening to the USA Hockey Magazine podcast. Hello, and welcome to another USA Hockey Magazine podcast. Today we're talking again with Kevin McLaughlin, Senior Director of Hockey Development for USA Hockey. This past weekend, we wrapped up another exciting USA Hockey Annual Congress and our Board of Directors meeting, which at the time the body checking rule proposal was passed, moving the age of legal body checking at the bantam level. The results were 88% were in favor of passing the rule. And so, Kevin, not only thank you for being here, but also I wanted to just get some of your thoughts about the proposal and its passage.
Well, thanks, Harry. Appreciate the follow-up on this topic. First of all, I'd like to sincerely thank all the people that were involved in the playing rules subcommittee on this topic, chaired by Bill Hall, and including Mike Milbury, Al McInnes, Dr. Michael Stewart, and in addition to those people that were actually on the subcommittee, also Dr. Stephen Norris for their expert opinions, expert input, obviously vast hockey background and experience dealing with this very emotional topic and important issue as we move forward to try to better ourselves as a hockey player nation and a responsible youth sport organization.
You know, Kevin, I just was thinking about this as you were, you know, giving a couple of shout-outs, and a couple of shout-outs that I think, you know, the people who work with you at USA Hockey and your department, the youth hockey department, I mean, they did a lot of work. They did a lot of heavy lifting, guys like Ken Roush, Mark Boxer, and even like into the coaching education program where you had guys like Matt Cunningham and Mark Taberman, Dan Brennan. I mean, it just seemed like it was a total team effort, I mean, both from national office staff, volunteers, and things like that.
Well, I think it was, and a lot of people have said it was probably the most comprehensive preparation and accumulation of data and sharing that research and data with our members and our board of directors and our councils and committees. And part of that is because of the timing of the issue, I believe, with long-term athlete development principles becoming so prevalent and so recognized in developing elite athletes, along with the medical research, whether that's Mayo Clinic and all they've done on investigation of concussions, or the study in youth hockey by Dr. Carolyn Emery with her study between Alberta and Quebec in player development and safety in peewee hockey specifically. So there were a whole lot of people involved with this research over the last 2.5 years and a lot of communication, and I just want to thank and give credit to everybody that was involved. It was a lot of people. It wasn't just two or three people involved.
Absolutely. So with all that said, with all the time and the effort and the work that was put into this, what was your confidence level heading into annual Congress, or heading into, more importantly, into the board of directors meeting on Saturday morning, that such a rule would pass?
The confidence level was fairly high based on the experience over the last 6 months and the feedback we had received from the people in the field, people that run local youth hockey associations, our affiliates at the state level and district level. Our president, Ron DiGregorio, had really put a lot of energy into this and going around and getting real feedback from real people at the grassroots level. We had been to Massachusetts. It was 100% almost unanimous support after the presentation on what the progressive body checking plan was for USA Hockey to implement more body contact and teach body contact and body checking from mites through bantams in a more concerted effort by USA Hockey. The New York State meeting, same results. Wisconsin meeting, same results. In Illinois, a couple of weeks before the annual Congress, it was 58-1 as far as local associations voting in favor of this. So this was becoming more and more evident. The support seemed to build momentum as people actually saw the presentation, face-to-face, had the opportunity to ask questions and better understand, like I said, the progressive body checking plan from mites through bantams, so that our players do become better skilled and better at executing body checking and protecting themselves, prepared to accept a hit or a body check, become technically more sound at it, and improve our officiating training and the preparation for September 1st when we dropped the puck on the new 2011-2012 season.
Absolutely. Hey, you know, during the course of the week, and actually leading up to the whole annual Congress, but during the week, particularly at the Board of Directors meeting, several former NHL players spoke up in support of the proposal, including Tom Chorosky, John Van Beesbrouck, and Brett Hedekin. And as an example, here's a clip of what Brett Hedekin had to say during the town hall meeting that was held several days before the vote.
Hi, I'm my name is Brett Hedekin, and I am an ex-player. I'm here as an athlete director. As a player that's played at all levels, obviously coming through the ranks of Minnesota, from the MIT program to all the way to the high school program, onto the university program, which led to the national program and eventually to 17 years in the National Hockey League. As a player, looking back at my career and things that I've seen throughout my days, obviously I am here on behalf as a player that's played at the highest level, saying to all of you and to American hockey, USA Hockey, to say I commend you for what you're doing with the American developmental model, giving these kids to play the cross ice. But onto the checking sort of circumstances is that I was not always the biggest guy when I played the game of hockey, especially in my youth years. I was one of the smallest kids on my team for many years. It wasn't until I was 17 years old when I grew 7 inches in a year that gave me the opportunity to be more physical. But that being said, I think at that age where there's such a big discrepancy in the peewee size kids, when I was the smallest guy looking to just avoid getting killed during the course of a game, and I really feel the skill development of my game possibly suffered during those years when I could really have been developing my skills and not had to worry about trying to just survive on the ice. So being a Minnesotan and knowing that you need more time to think about this, I don't know if I agree with that, only because the time is now to give our kids in this country the ability to continue to develop their skills. Secondly, the safety is obviously noted, how impactful it is for these kids not to have the ability to respond, react to multitasking. All that fact is there as well. So give these kids the ability to continue to grow, but grow the game and work on their skills to develop them to give us the ability to continue to grow our game in the United States. So thank you.
Well, that's a pretty lofty statement from a player like Brett, who obviously was a 17-year NHL veteran. What are some of your thoughts about Brett's comments?
I think Brett's comments exemplify what we hear from elite players once they understand what the proposal is. They know it takes time for a player to develop to become an elite athlete. His personal experience is textbook long-term athlete development, textbook player development, and it's exactly what we're trying to achieve, is to capitalize on that window of optimal trainability between 9 and 12 so that kids can develop their skill to their maximum genetic potential. Obviously, we want to teach body checking during that period. That's a key component of this that a lot of people miss, is we want to teach full legal body checking in practice, on the ice, off the ice, for those 2 years of peewee hockey, and even developing that base of good angling, good body contact, good body positioning, skating skills, all those things that lead up to be a proficient and extremely skilled body checker. Not just skating, not just puck handling, passing, receiving, those key skills, but also developing the entire hockey player. Not just developing somebody at 11 or 12 to become a hitter or a role player or a physical force. We want all of their skills to develop along their long-term athlete development windows of optimal trainability path. And that's going to allow us to develop more elite players, we believe. And I think the elite players understand that better than anybody, because that's how they developed, and they look back and they see that. That's how it happened in their life.
Absolutely. You know, Dr. Stewart, who did an incredible amount of work in research to help move this proposal forward to the point where it could get passed, he mentioned exactly what you were saying during the Safety and Protective Equipment Committee meetings. He talked about you know, so much is being made about just moving the age of the legal body checking to the bantam level, but that this is an entire program. Is that kind of how this is all going to shift from here on out, you know, to really start emphasizing what you're talking about, where you're emphasizing the angling and the body contact, and then start progressing these skills up until that first game, the puck drops on that first game as a bantam?
Absolutely. Our goal as a player development committee and as a USA Hockey Youth Council and USA Hockey company is to have a world-leading body contact, body checking training program that is the best in the world, is the model of what's available in the world in training our young players, so that people that pay our organization membership fees can have 100% confidence that we are going to train their child to understand this skill, be proficient at this skill, and have a world-leading coach education program to teach coaches to properly train their athletes.
Our Mark Tabor alluded to a lot of this when we sat down with him a couple of weeks ago with one of these podcasts. How much of the materials are in place to really move this forward? It seems like there's quite a bit.
There's a lot in place right now. There's body checking the right way. There are online coach education modules that every single coach will be required to view next year. On this, that will include a large percentage of this topic in the module. Those modules are designed and targeted at the specific age that coach is coaching that year. So anybody that's coaching Mite or Squirt or Peewee will view their module for that age group, and that will all include a body contact, body checking component of the module. And those will include off-ice training examples and on-ice drills to teach this very critical skill.
Absolutely. Well, it's only been a couple of days since the vote was taken and the rule passed. What's been the feedback that you've received in the hours and in the days preceding the vote? Has it been mostly positive, mostly negative? What's it been?
It's been mostly positive. There have been a couple of negative emails that I think are coming from people that don't understand the comprehensiveness of this program and of this training program. They just read the one sentence in the playing rule that's delaying the implementation of full body checking to bantam and miss the entire point of the comprehensive training program. But for the most part, we've gotten emails from our counterparts in Hockey Canada, different provinces throughout Canada, and a lot of emails from parents who's have had experiences with their own kids, whether it be through concussion or people that have played in leagues that have adapted NHL playing rules for their young kids, and now that they look back, they're really disappointed that their child missed the window to obtain their skill development and reach their genetic potential as far as skill development goes, and they're actually envious that they wish their child would have this opportunity again. So for the most part, very positive, and we're very, very excited about moving forward between now and the fall.
That's awesome. Well, you know, we talk about skill development, and obviously that was the driving force behind this proposal to start with. But safety also, you know, couldn't be ignored, and like I said, Dr. Stewart and others have done a great job of bringing that to light. One other rule that was passed during the Board of Directors meeting that I thought really speaks to this was Rule 68B, which more strictly enforces the hits to the head. I wanted to just get some of your thoughts about that and how that helps improve the quality of play in youth hockey.
For sure. This is a topic that's very, very hot right now. Hockey Canada, two weekends ago, passed a very similar rule. Rule 48 in the National Hockey League is very similar. The IHF is looking at this, the NCAA. And it's basically making players responsible for their equipment, for their hands, for their stick, for their elbows, and trying to eliminate all hits to the head, whether intentional or unintentional, but implementing rules that would penalize players for any head contact, trying to make it a safer game and avoid concussions through some playing rule enforcement. And we're confident that that'll work hand in hand with this body checking progressive plan to teach players how to check better, but also to be more responsible when you are checking or having physical contact with an opponent.
Well, Kevin, thanks again for taking the time to join us today, and thanks for everything that you've done to push this proposal forward. I think youth hockey in the United States is real lucky to have people such as yourself and others really looking out for the good of the kid and looking out for the good of the game.
Well, Harry, that has been our focus, is the individual athlete and their development. And I just want to say thank you to USA Hockey Magazine, the coverage that it's provided, the podcast. I know I've received several emails about people that have taken the time to listen to the podcast. And I know the parents that are members of our organization really appreciate being communicated to and having the transparency and hopefully a better understanding of what the goals and missions of USA Hockey are. I also want to just say that I hope everybody understands that the excitement we have, and I hope they're as excited as parents for the opportunity that this new playing rule will present for their child to become a better Bantam player, become a better high school player, hopefully reach their genetic potential as hockey players, whatever their goal might be, whether it's to be an elite player, play at our national team development program, play on their high school team, play college hockey, or just play adult league hockey through their adulthood. I think this is a step in the direction and is an indication that USA Hockey really supports the goals of the individual athlete and those families that are members of our organization.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Well, thanks again, Kevin, for taking the time, and thanks for everybody out there for tuning in and listening. And please stay tuned next time. We'll have some more USA Hockey Magazine podcasts. We'll be right back.